in the limelight. While 122 countries voted to ban nuclear weapons, the United States pursued a project to threaten China with a nuclear attack. In August of 2019, the United States withdrew from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces, or INF, treaty, tested two intermediate range missiles, and then posted an order for a variety of cruise and ballistic missiles. When the US government sought bases for these missiles around China, its Asian allies balked. They do not want to inflame the already tense situation between the United States and China. The article you're about to hear has been written by Vijay Prashad, an Indian historian, editor and journalist. The piece is titled, "We Can't Give Up an Idea of a Nuke-Free World." The article has been taken from the Asia Times website. Please stay with us for more of Vijay Prashad's article. On 22nd of January, the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons became international law for the 122 states that signed the agreement in July of 2017. The Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, as with most treaties, is summed up in one sentence, Article 1A. Each state party undertakes never, under any circumstances, to develop, test, produce, manufacture, otherwise acquire, possess, or stockpile nuclear weapons or other nuclear explosive devices. There is no complexity here. This is a treaty to ban nuclear weapons. Wilfred Burchett was the first non-Japanese journalist to visit Hiroshima after the atomic bombing of that city. His first dispatch for London's The Daily Express on 5th of September 1945 was titled "The Atomic Plague." Wilfred Burchett wrote, "In Hiroshima, 30 days after the first atomic bomb destroyed the city and shook the world, people are still dying, mysteriously and horribly. Hiroshima does not look like a bomb city. It looks as if a monster's steamroller had passed over it and squashed it out of existence." Wilfred Burchett said, "I write these facts as dispassionately as I can in the hope that they will act as a warning to the world. The damage is far greater than photographs can show. It gives you an empty feeling in the stomach to see such man-made devastation." In 1952, Sakamoto Hatsumi, a primary school pupil who had experienced the terror of the bombing, wrote a short poem. "When the atomic bomb drops, day turns into night, people turn into ghosts. It is simple and elegant, a plea from the darkness to abolish nuclear weapons." This is what the Hibakusha, the survivors of the atomic nightmare of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, have been demanding since 1945. Their pleas have been heard around the world, but not in the capitals that have developed these hideous weapons. 9 of the 193 member states of the United Nations possess nuclear weapons. One of them, the United States of America, has more than half of all the 13,410 warheads. Four countries, namely the United States, Russia, Britain and France, have at least 1,800 warheads on high alert, which means that they can be fired at very short notice. To compare the warheads currently deployed with the atom bomb dropped on Hiroshima is enough to make the heart stop. The yield from the little boy used on Hiroshima has been estimated at 15 kilotons, whereas the yield from one W-88 warhead that is deployed on a Trident II submarine is estimated at 475 kilotons. It is not just the number of nuclear weapons that are available. The current nuclear weapons, many of them deployed on submarines and ships, are far more lethal. None of the 9 nuclear weapon states have joined the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. They boycotted the negotiations and the vote in the United Nations General Assembly. In October of 2020, the United States government circulated a letter asking those governments that signed the treaty to withdraw from it. The US ambassador to the United Nations in 2017, Nikki Haley, claimed that the Treaty on Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons threatened the security of the United States. She condescended to the 122 governments that joined the Treaty on Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, saying, "Do they really understand the threats that we have?" As Prabir Purukayasva, an engineer and a science activist in the power, telecommunications and software sector, wrote in January of 2020, over the course of the past few years, the US administration has undermined the 3 core treaties for disarmament: the Anti-Ballistic Missile or ABM Treaty, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces or INF Treaty, and the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty, which has now metamorphosed into the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, or START. Appetite for serious nuclear disarmament has simply not been evident. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, in the United States estimates that the government will spend $1.2 trillion between 2017 and 2046 to modernize the U.S. nuclear arsenal. The other 8 nuclear weapon states will follow suit, but far behind, since in these matters the United States drives this terrifying agenda. While 122 countries voted to ban nuclear weapons, the United States pursued a project to threaten China with nuclear attack. In August of 2019, the US withdrew from the INF Treaty, tested 2 intermediate-range missiles, and then posted an order for a variety of cruise and ballistic missiles. When the US government sought bases for these missiles around China, its Asian allies balked. They do not want to inflame the already tense situation between Washington and Beijing. Former US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said in 2020 that the Department of Defense has ramped up its efforts against China. These threats grew more and more explicit later that year. President Joe Biden's new Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, said Donald Trump's administration was right to be tough on China. The presence of these missiles on US naval vessels and the development of hypersonic cruise missiles, as well as open threats against China, simply make it impossible for Beijing to dismantle its nuclear arsenal. To do so would be tantamount to surrender before a US attack. Meanwhile, China's government has said that it welcomes the establishment of nuclear-free zones, including the Southeast Asian Nuclear Weapon-Free Zone Treaty. At a press briefing in July of 2020, Fu Kong, Director General of China's Department of Arms Control and Disarmament in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, said his country would be willing to enter disarmament negotiations if the US arsenal at 5,800 nuclear missiles dropped down to the Chinese level of about 300 nuclear missiles. Fu Kong said the US knows full well the huge gap between the Chinese and American nuclear arsenals, both in terms of quantity and sophistication, adding, "For the US, hyping up the China factor is nothing but a ploy to divert world attention and to create a pretext under which they could walk away from the new START Treaty, as they have done on so many other arms control treaties. Fu Kong noted, "The real purpose is to get rid of all possible restrictions and have a free hand in seeking overwhelming military superiority over any adversary, real or imagined." Public opinion, even in many NATO countries, favours a total ban on nuclear weapons. After the Treaty for Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons went into force on 22nd of January this year, Beatrice Feen of the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons addressed nuclear weapon states. She said, "Your weapons are now banned, permanently. You are on the wrong side of international law, the wrong side of history, and the wrong side of humanity." In 2017, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons won the Nobel Peace Prize. Nuclear disarmament has a long history. In 1961, the US and the former Soviet Union signed the McCloy-Zorin Accords, or the Agreed Principles for General and Complete Disarmament, which called for general and complete disarmament, but also that war should no longer be an instrument for settling international problems. Gone is that spirit, but it needs to be revived.